Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being together, and thank you for just blessing us in many ways all through the week. Thank you for the friendships that have been established, and thank you for the truths that we have learned, for the changes that we have planned, and just, Father, for the great thing it is to be part of your family in a conference like this. Lord, I pray for this day. I pray on behalf of each one of our guests. Lord, these days are long, and it's hard to be away from home, and so I would just pray that you would give every person here your grace and your strength. Lord, would you supply every need? Lord, for loved ones back home, I pray that you would watch over them today. Pray that you would meet their needs there. Father, I ask that you would give us help as we would think about the scriptures. Lord, we recognize this is holy ground, and we want to be very, very careful in the way we talk about these things and the way we study these things. Lord, I pray that we would have learners' hearts. I pray that there would be a real carefulness as we would seek to discern your word on these matters. And Father, we love you, and we love your word. Thank you for giving us the privilege to be able to study it today. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let me invite you to open your notes to a discussion on the will of God. How can I know the will of God? Now, I just tell you right out of the blocks, back in the old days, we used to not even do this lecture until Thursday afternoon. And there was actually a reason for that. We wanted to be sure that you had plenty of reasons to trust us. You know what I mean? Because this is kind of a controversial discussion. You know what I mean? There's some holy bovines associated with this topic. Sacred cows. And so we used to not even do this until Thursday afternoon, and then for some reason in the schedule, I noticed that we had it on Wednesday morning. So I guess what I'm asking you to do is to trust me one day earlier than you would have had you been here in the old days, okay? Would you do that? Maybe. We're not sure yet. Okay. Please keep in mind what I've said to you several times as we've gone through this material. If somebody disagrees with us about something, at least from our perspective, that doesn't make them our enemy, okay? So I realize that what I'm about to say on this topic is different than what many people believe on this topic. I've got that. Believe me, I've read the evaluations in previous years, so I understand that. But we want to make a pass at this particular topic. And then we're going to trust the Lord to work in your heart however he chooses. And so if when we're all done, if you say, you know, I'm not sure I buy what they believe on that matter, or I'm not sure I line up exactly where they are, or I'm going to have to think about that, that's perfectly okay, right? That's perfectly okay. And it was never our desire to try to have folks who would agree with us on every last little point, as much as it is just to try to encourage folks to think about some of these things and go back to the scriptures and study some of these things. So if you leave this particular session thinking, you know what, I'm going to rethink that, or I'm going to have to study that some more, or I'm going to pray some more about that, then that's all that we wanted. Fair deal? So do we need to take some cleansing breaths here? Everybody just need to kind of relax. Is everybody relaxed? Don't relax so much as you go to sleep, but is everybody relaxed here? Okay, something else. Remember that this whole nuthetic counseling thing, it really is a package deal. It really needs to inform every aspect of your ministry, at least from our perspective. These twin doctrines, and really this conference is about two things primarily, the sufficiency of Scripture and biblical progressive sanctification. Have we mentioned that? The sufficiency of Scripture and biblical progressive sanctification. But we've also tried to point this out. Those two doctrines ought to permeate everything that's going on in the church. They ought to permeate every facet of ministry, including the way we think about this whole topic, this matter of how do we know the will of God. Now, I'm sure you would agree with this. There's a lot of ideas out there, aren't there? It's interesting to listen to sermons, read books, listen to people on the radio who are talking about the subject, and so many times the voices don't agree. And whenever that's the case, the natural question is, is everybody out there reading the same book? Why, if everybody's reading the same book, could there possibly be so many views if the Word of God is supposed to be our standard? And you know, many times that's the rub, isn't it? Many times there's very little attempt to build some sort of an exegetical approach to this particular topic. More often it's testimonials. It's anecdotalism. It's let me tell you what happened to me. In fact, I would encourage you as I go through this material, please don't immediately go to your experience. Experience is a terrible way to build a theology. And so I would encourage you not first to think, well, Uncle so-and-so said, or Aunt Mimi had this story to tell, or this is how I felt on a particular day. I want to encourage you as I go through this material, think about the Scripture. Think about the Word of God. Think about sound theology, even if at times that would go against some of the experiences that we have. So there's a lot of ideas out there. This is also a problem that counselors face. It's not unusual at all for a person to just sit down, listen to a counselee story, and conclude this. This person is in the problem that they're in, at least in part, because of a wrong position on trying to determine the will of God. Dawson Trotman used to like to tell the story of speaking at a conference when four young men approached him and said they believed God was leading them to marry a woman. And that was perfectly okay, I guess, that these guys thought it, that God had showed them what woman they ought to marry. Until as Dawson Trotman heard them further, he realized they were all talking about the same woman. Now, you tell me, was God leading those men to marry that same woman? And you don't have to know them. You don't have to pray about it. It's not like, could I have a few more facts? Right? At least three of those guys were wrong in their determination of the will of God. Wouldn't you say? And if I were just betting, it'd probably be all four. But the bottom line is, just because somebody feels led in a particular way, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the will of God for them, regardless of how strong their story might be. I think of a man who was absolutely convinced that God had called him to Germany. And the way he told that story was as if God had called him on the phone and told him to go to Germany. That was the nature of his call. And by the way, now I love you. Do we need another cleansing breath? Many times some of the spookiest people in all the world can be missionaries. And many times it starts with super spiritual, mystical sounding call. And in this particular man's situation, he was so convinced that God had called him to Germany, he didn't slow up long enough for a few things. Like getting evaluation from his local church. Or like having anybody else in his life help him evaluate himself in light of biblical principles like 1 Timothy 3 or Titus chapter 1. He didn't slow up long enough to have anybody else outside of himself evaluate his spiritual giftedness or lack thereof. He didn't slow up long enough to learn the language. He knew nothing about the culture. He didn't slow up long enough to plan financially. But he had this feeling. He had this experience that God was calling him to Germany. So he sold his car, bought a one-way ticket to Germany for himself, making no provision at all for his wife, no provision at all for his children. Now, I'm asking you right now, was that guy called to Germany? The answer is no. And it doesn't matter how spooky the story is. It doesn't matter how well it preaches, and on and on and on and on and on. If it's violating clear principles of the Word of God, it is not His will, regardless of what experience that person might have. And by the way, although this is an aside, since somebody raised the issue of the call to ministry, let me just say, at least from my perspective, the call to ministry is not an individual thing. The call to ministry is a corporate thing. And I think we have too many folks on the mission field, too many people in pastoral ministry, too many people in seminaries where the local church has not been involved in helping that individual determine their call. And I understand there is a subjective aspect to it. 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And I guess you could take the position that that is subjective in nature. That's fine. But at least my position would be, As soon, and this is what we teach our people here,